This morning's gospel reading presents us with some teaching in which Jesus simply does not sound like Jesus. Last week's gospel reading was a lot easier. We had the parable of the lost coin, and we could think about all the things that we have lost and frantically searched for. We could wrap our hearts and minds around that experience. We talked about that one sheep that wanders off and how the good shepherd leaves the 99 behind to go search for the one. And yes, that seems kind of ridiculous, but everyone is precious to God and we are precious to God. And what wonderful good news. We end it with the story of the two lost sons, and that one son decides to come home, and by God's grace, he receives a welcome by his loving father's grace. He's welcomed home as a son again. In each case, there is rejoicing that follows one that has been lost that is now found. That's a great thing for us to wrap our hearts and minds around. But this week, Jesus simply doesn't sound like Jesus. It almost sounds like Jesus is condoning and encouraging dishonesty. It's not the kind of thing we would expect Jesus to do. And even if we decide to use the word shrewd instead of dishonest, the manager's actions still don't seem praiseworthy, and it doesn't seem like something we should emulate. Jesus just does not sound like Jesus in either his parable or his subsequent comments about his parable. And whenever Jesus doesn't sound like Jesus, I wind up doing a lot of studying and a lot of pondering. And it turns out that we could spend hours considering the alleged misconduct of that manager. Was he wasteful or careless? Was he simply poor at investing? Was he stealing from his boss? Was he not dishonest enough and maybe not ruthless enough to suit his master's goals? We don't know. Those are all possibilities. And whose money did he wind up writing off when he shrewdly slashed everyone's bills and said, mark it down to this and sit down and be quiet? Whose money was he really writing off? Maybe it was his own commission, in which case it was shrewd, but certainly not dishonest. Maybe it was interest that his master was charging illegally. And my goodness, he'd been found out, and if the master made an issue of these bills that had been slashed, the master would wind up being in trouble. The parable does not give us any of that information. It is open-ended like so many of the parables, and that leaves us pondering all sorts of possibilities. It leaves us wrestling with a lot of ethical implications that go along with those possibilities. And we could also do a lot of squirming about how we handle our own hard-earned money and our time and our resources and our gifts and our abilities. And, of course, they all really belong to God, and we are just managing them for God, but we tend to forget that. So we could do a lot of squirming in that department. We could send out for pizza and spend hours wrestling and debating and squirming with this parable. Anybody have the Uber Eats app on their phone? I'm guessing that you don't want to do that. But we could certainly spend several hours going over all the possibilities, wrestling with them, squirming a lot. And it would probably be fruitful for our discipleship. But at the end of it all, Jesus still would not sound like Jesus. And I have found that whenever Jesus doesn't sound like Jesus, we need to look at what comes before and what comes after. And part of what comes immediately after the parable is Jesus's praise for those who know how to redeem difficult situations. He then goes on to tell us we can't serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and money. So we're going to have to wrestle with that and decide. But he first tells us that we need to figure out how to redeem difficult situations. And what comes before the parable is the parable of the two lost sons that we looked at last week. And the youngest son in that parable actually figures out how to redeem a difficult situation. Now, it is a difficult situation of his own making, just like the manager's situation was a difficult situation of his own making. But in that parable, the two lost sons, if you remember, the youngest son decides he is sick and tired of working day in and day out for his dad, goes to his dad and says, "I'd like to have my part of the inheritance now, Dad. I don't care about you. Give me my one-third. Let me go off and have fun." And the loving father goes and liquidates enough property to give that son one-third of the money, to give him the inheritance that would be due him upon the father's death. And off he goes, and he has a wonderful time. He's got lots of fair weather friends, but then there's a famine in the land. The food is short. He runs out of money. He hires himself out to work for one of the citizens in that foreign land. And he is feeding pigs, and he'd gladly eat the food being given to the pigs. Nobody gives him anything to eat. And finally he says, "I know how to redeem this difficult situation. I know that the servants who work for my father have it better than this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to ask my dad's forgiveness. I'm going to be like one of the servants. At least I will have food to eat and a roof over my head." He figures out how to redeem a difficult situation of his own making. And the father then welcomes him home with grace, far more than he deserves. The only thing the younger son can be commended for is figuring out how to redeem the mess that he has gotten himself into. And I think that is part of what Jesus is encouraging us to do. We find ourselves in difficult situations all the time. That's part of life in our fallen world. Sometimes the difficult situations are of our own making. We should have known better, but we went and did it anyhow. Sometimes those difficult situations are of someone else's making. And sometimes they're just part of living in a fallen, sin-sick world. But when those difficult situations confront us, we need to figure out how to redeem them. As the old saying goes, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But Jesus tells us that the secular world is better at making lemonade than those of us in the faith community. In his words, the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. They know how to use what they have to redeem difficult situations. They know how to turn life's lemons into lemonade. So what about us? I think Jesus' seemingly strange teaching has something to say to the church. Not just the church here at Orms, but church with a capital C, the whole church, all who believe in Jesus all around the world. We are facing some difficult challenges. Doing church is not as easy as it was in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. In those days, new communities were going up, and in every new community, every denomination came in and planted a church. And if you put up a church building, people would come. And if you had a beautiful sanctuary and a choir and something you called Sunday school, People came. They wanted that for their families. They wanted that for their children. There wasn't all the entertainment options that we have today. The church was where they came for fellowship. It was where they came for an affordable meal and a break from cooking, long before there was McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all of those different fast food options that we enjoy today, long before there was Chick-fil-A. So it was a lot easier to do church back then. But maybe it was never really easy, and we just became very comfortable and very complacent, because if you build it and you open the doors, in those days they would come. But we have some different situations and some difficult situations that we now need to redeem in order to be faithful disciples who make disciples. And we need to redeem those difficult situations in order to live out Jesus' command and to be salt and to be light for the world. It is time to figure out how to turn today's lemons into some new flavors of lemonade. And if you think about creating a new recipe, maybe it's something like that. Initially, you may not get the consistency quite right. Maybe you need a little bit more liquid, or you need a little bit more of the dry ingredients. Maybe you need to tweak the flavor a little bit. You add a few different spices in, and the first time it's not quite right. Takes a few more tries before you get that balance of spices right. Maybe you've just got too much vanilla extract in there. It just seems a little too sweet. And you decide you need to cut that a little bit by adding a little almond extract. Or maybe you want just a hint of orange, and you keep playing around with that recipe. It may take several tries before you get what it is you are striving for, and it is your prized recipe. It takes a lot of trial and error, and I think it's going to take the same thing in the church. I think it's going to take some creative thinking and some courageous risk-taking and some determination to keep on trying. I hear that from some of you, and whenever I hear it, it is always exciting. We are going to need to be innovators. And that really is when the church is always at its best. Back in the dark ages, when everything was falling apart, it was the church that sheltered and preserved all the artwork for future generations. It was the church that has always been leaders in all kinds of education. The church were the first ones to start kindergartens. We've been involved in starting all sorts of colleges and universities, not just in the U.S., but around the world. The church was the first to open hospitals. And the church was involved in creating labor laws, especially child labor laws, to ensure that children were not taken advantage of. The church has always been there creating social programs, and often we do a far better job than the government. You wouldn't think that with all the resources they seem to be able to bring to the table, but so often, because we add love into the mix, our lemonade is better than theirs. We are at our best when we are innovating and leading the way. We're at our best when we are redeeming difficult situations, no matter who created them. And we are at our best when we are acting like salt and light for the world. We're at our best when we are adding the seasoning into things, or maybe when we're being the irritant that brings about change, or maybe we're being like that salt on the roadways. We're kind of melting things and warming them up and softening them. And we are at our best when, instead of hiding our light under that bushel basket from the fifth chapter of Matthew, from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, instead we have got it on a lampstand so that it lights the house, and so that from a distance people can see that light. We are called and we are equipped and we are empowered to redeem difficult situations and to do so in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's work together to make some amazing new flavors of lemonade for our hurting world. We are called from the Faith We Sing 2172.